Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to welcome you to Garden of Enlightenment with Lulu Wildes, Weaver of Dreams, Gray Eye Smith, and Poetic Picasso. We will be featuring the front page picks for the first hour. In the second hour, we'll go into open poetry. And if we have time, we will go back up into the front page picks. We have a special show this coming Saturday with Gray Eyes and Daniel. We will also be doing front page picks from the previous month and featuring them on his show. So I want to thank him for that. And it was a great idea that Fill My Eyes had. And Gray, I'd like you to go ahead. Hi, sweetie. And please pick up the callers.
Okay, we have Weaver of Dreams. Hi, Olivia.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, my darling. Hi, Gray.
Hello.
Hi, Weaver.
Hi. Early morning from Scotland. Do we have any other callers, Gray?
No, that's it for now.
Okay. Well, Miss Katie, we're going to have a busy night. So let's go ahead and start dropping in those front page picks, please.
No problem. Give me one moment, and I get that for you.
And while she's doing that, just to let you know that these shows are supported by poetry. Poems were donated from poets from around the world. You can look and find those books on Amazon.com, and they are just like the name of our shows, the Late Night Poets Anthology. So please go and check them out and help support poetry. And we're ready to go, Katie.
Okay, my dear. Right, we have Your Shape by Arlie Stud. And Gray, could you read this for us, please?
Sure, no problem.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Your Shape by Arlie Stud. One, the bed retains your shape, once lost to sleep. Here a hip, there a thigh, the curve of your back, the weight of your breasts. I have loved this shape for decades now, kneading it into living flesh, cleansing it from all discord, calculating the geometry of sex, soft angles of desire, angles of desire, fluid vectors of hope, divots near the base of your spine, your crooked clavicle, broken as a child. I have tended to your will, broken by the force of circumstance. I have mastered the way of no force. Two, shape embodies us, forms ourselves as they rise above bedroom walls into the clinging world. We may sculpt, bathe, and smooth our shapes, but we are derived from no Tuscan quarry of uncut marble. We bleed. We have blessed the kiss of Rodin, waiting in the rain to enter his domain. We have embraced Klimt's The Kiss, a golden explosion of interlocking shapes, guiding us to the edge of his darkened town. We have turned Paris sidewalks into Les Chemins de la Liberté, roads of transport and delight, our bare feet squeezing impressions in oozing muds, levitating above the Seine, guided by a shuttered book stalls. We lined up as soldiers on river's bank. Here your shape has taken on Europa's shape, but you have escaped the lusty weight of the Zeus, the bull. Floating now above our bed, caught in the trappings of myth, I outline your shape on the sheet, which will change directions in the surreal stirrings of the night, your arms outstretched to a new dawn, for Laura and poem.
Oh, you did a fabulous job in reading that poem by Arlis. I just love the detail in here that he brings out. You know, it's beautiful, and he well deserved. He even got a gold medal on this. You know, it's very sensuous. It's beautifully penned. I really loved how he brought that out here. Where is it? Where he talks about shape embodies us. Form ourselves as they rise above bedroom walls into the clinging world. We may sculpt, bathe, and smooth our shapes, but we are derived from no Tuscan quarry of uncut marble we bleed. Well, that was just fabulous. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes, this was such a lovely, it was just a lovely ode to somebody that he obviously cares so much about. So sweet. And so sad. At the end, of course, the end of it, I don't know if it was in the AN or just at the end of the poem itself, but I love that to Laura, for Laura. That's just lovely to dedicate that. So I think it was beautifully written, full of pathos and very lovely. Yeah, thank you.
Agreed. And gray eyes. You read this.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what your thoughts were?
It was beautiful. It really captured the essence of the shape of a woman and the imprints that it leaves on her mind and her soul. You know, the crooked clavicle thing really got me. And also, I tended to your will, broken by the force of circumstance. I mastered the way. It's a beautiful, sentimental poem.
Great. Thank you so much. And you did such a wonderful job in reading it. And we are ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Righty-ho. We have She Calls for Rain by Babler. And I will take my turn and read this one. She Calls for Rain. It rains in the spring because growth requires tears. Some springs mutate into monsoons, drowning the foliage to birth a summer jungle. Trails carve themselves out through a rink of grey matter, winding the sharpened blades of inline skates, scraping paths bitter and saccharine, candied and poisoned, gouges and divots, swirls and incisions. She reaches for the language hiding in folded curtains, drawn closed, fumbling them in her arms, litters of feral kittens, hissing and wriggling, bottle-fed and babied into domesticity. Still the lines are written, ink dance that tugs smiles from corners of stubborn lips that find a home in the chaos families. Some form scars and thick layers of callus and skin. Other man the Zamboni and dedicate themselves to ironing out wrinkled pasts. But she sings siren calls for rain clouds at the slightest blush of spring and dances for dandelions, same as roses. End poem.
Oh, you did a fabulous job of reading Babler's poem that She Calls for Rain. I always enjoy her metaphors, and it, you know, especially when I was listening to you read, where it says, still the lines are written, ink dance that tugs smiles from corners of stubborn lips that find a home in a chaos of calico families. Mm-hmm. And this was, you know, a poem about writing about me, and I thought that she did this beautifully. What did you think, Gray?
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. You know, you can feel her reverence for the rain and the brick growth that it brings. I really like spring turns into summer monsoons, or spring turns into monsoons. No, I can't find it. But some form stars, thick layers of callus and skin, others man the Zamboni, and dedicate themselves into ironing out paths, wrinkled paths. But she sings siren calls for rain clouds at the slightest blush of spring and dances for dandelions, same as roses. I thought that was beautiful. You know, I mean, a dandelion has as much purpose and beauty as a rose. So I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, agreed. Thank you. Wonderful comment. And you read this poem by our own Babler. What did you think, Katie? Yeah.
Well, I have a very soft spot for rain myself. I love it. I go out walking in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lovely feeling. I have to apologize to Babler, though, because for a second I thought I was going to read Irons Out Wrinkled Pasta. And I thought, no, look at it carefully, woman. It's past. So I didn't say it, Babler. I just had to say it now because it amused me so much. So imagine you wrinkling pasta, getting it all ironed out. Anyway. Beautiful. I thought it was very well written, and as usual, you can't expect anything less from our Babler. It just has so much in it that you could read and read over and over. And I like the fact of the trails carve themselves through a rink of grey matter, because that's what water does. It finds its own level, it finds its own way, and the rain is the same as far as I'm concerned. So beautifully done. Thank you for sharing.
Agreed. Thank you, Katie. Excellent comment. And we're ready for our next home.
Yes, and our next one is Falling Is Not For Me by D.E. Navarro. Now, Grave, would you care to read this for us, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, this is called Falling Is Not For Me by D.E. Navarro. Should I wax gooey and emotional, or plush, mushy, romantic, pouring out, warm maple syrup words smothering, just overwrought of idea of falling in love? What the hell is that? I can't be throwing myself down into the fiery maw of a volcano's belching gases, diving headlong into its seething liquid rock from the precipice of its cratered edge. Neither is it plummeting back down to the cold flats of waiting Earth after being thrust through the stratosphere and launched into space by the forced explosion of volatile rocket fuel. Nor is it tripping into a sinkhole abyss, plunging fast into its vacant darkness, no sight or sound while whizzing by, black walls oblivious to the hellhounds, swiping at me with razor-sharp claws, eagerly waiting for the sudden splat. Massive sequoias still topple over, skyscrapers implode, caving into rubble. Champions are beaten by challengers. Greedy mega banks burst and people lose their fragile power and fortunes. Why would I fall into anything? Let it now drop down onto me, descend from its lofty heights, germinate somewhere within, then peel away its own bark to expose itself, its pliable phloem, through to its core essential asylum, yielding its rich fruits to me. Let it bear its supple life body, arms and legs to hold me, and to secure me in unfailing embrace, an honest and open disclosure, in a disclosure void of crafty guile, welding a permanent inner bead that I might understand its depth, then give it all away to another. End poem.
And thank you, Gray. You did a... What were you? Were you going to say something?
In his author's notes, he says, "One must be higher than love in order to fall into love. But love is supposed to be what is higher than me. So let it fall onto me, into me." End author's notes.
Mm-hmm. You know what? You did a good job in reading his poem. You know, falling is not for me. I got a big kick out of where he said, "Should I wax gooey and emotional, plush, mushy, romantic, pouring out warm maple syrup, words smothering the overweight idea of falling in love? What the hell is that?" You know, I got a big kick out of that. You know, then he questions himself, why would I fall into anything? You know, the thing with falling in love and into any relationship is that he brings it out here. Let it now drop down into me, descend from its lofty height, germinate somewhere within, then peel away its bark to expose itself, its pliable phlegm, through its core essential exlum, yielding its rich fruits to me. You know, anytime you get in a relationship, you have to peel layers to get to know the person, because the person is very layered with their experiences, their family life, and what goes on around them is what helps develop them. And, you know, to expose yourself where you allow that person to see deeper within you so that you fall in love and begin to trust this person as, you know, I thought that he, for at least that's how I thought, he cleverly did it. And what did you think, Katie?
Well, I do like the sentiment very much. You know, I do. Why should we do the falling? Let love fall into us, and then we can just deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that first, like you said, that first stanza is a doozy. I love it. It's just a, mm-hmm. What the hell is that? It's true. It's got no sense or stability. It's a mad thing, falling in love. It mucks everything up. It changes you. You become soft and gooey, and then you find you have to harden up because life isn't quite soft and gooey. It's a little bit harder to deal with. So I thought it was wonderfully done. Basically, he's saying that even though he doesn't think he should have to fall in love, he knows very well that he's going to. So, you know, no point in fighting it, mate. It's going to happen. So I thought it was great. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. Wonderful comment. And how about you, Gray?
Yeah, I liked it. You know, it really questions falling in love as opposed to having love fall into you, which is a, you know, a wonderful thought. But unfortunately, as above, so below, you know, it you really need to let go of things and just fall in love. never to experience true love, in my opinion.
Thank you, Gray Eyes. And Weaver, we are back to you this evening.
Okay. Next we have a poem by Ephesiana, which has a SoundCloud. So it's called Searching for a Light by Ephesiana. And Gray, I wonder if you could get that for us, please.
Yeah, you bet. I'm just looking for it now.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, here we go.
Down 3 steps in the bosom of that rock cave that we hiked last autumn, wrapped in a plastic zip-tied bag weighed by a mossy stone. I left you a letter. If only the paper could truly convey the touch of my fingers, they would explore the arch of your nose, wonder at the texture of the stubble on your jaw, wind their way down from collarbone to hip, tracing wonders I've only explored through imagination. 7 days. For hours, I searched the house for a light bulb. My bedroom is cold and black and wallpapered with paintings of you, where red clouds and star clusters split in the middle of an emerald green ribbon, pushing the black sky from the black trees and black field, and gray smoke rise to the sky, and you are smiling at me, white teeth and lips full like a glass of wine to taste. Your house is no doubt illuminated by your brilliance, a mind that wanders dark corridors but releases fireflies. The cadence of your writing hints to me the music you hear. Your pen dances subconsciously to the tune. Peeling back the folds of the red and white envelope, inhaling the perfumed scent of where you are now, a picture of you frozen and breathing, sticking to my skin like a song on the radio. Each of your words jumps from the page of your letters, brimming with the life that warms my skin on brisk nights. I hope you find my new mailbox, recently vacated by owls. That tree called to me as ours in a magnetic pull. Reading cursive swirls of blue ink running, pressed fingertips to lined paper, to my eyes.
I want to thank Ephesiana for that beautiful poem. And she did this as a collaboration with Papa Mama Jamma. And it, she says this is to the italic part. Are by Papa Mama Jamma, who also would like you to listen to the Beach Boys. So, you know, I really love the way that they both write together. Their imagery is just powerful as it is so languid and liquid and warm. It's just going to be so hard to pick out the different things that I liked here, but I liked If Only Papers Could Truly Convey the Touch of My Fingers, they would explore the arch of your nose, wonder at the texture of the stubble on your jaw, wind their way down from collarbone to hip, tracing wonders I have only explored through imagination. And then, you know, and then they go into this other stanza, peeling back the folds of red and white envelope, inhaling the perfumed scent of where you are now, a picture of you frozen and breathing, sticking to my skin like the song on the radio. Oh, my goodness. Just the imagery here from the both of them. This was spectacular. It was beautiful, and I really enjoyed it. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, I agree. It was a brilliant collaboration, and I like the fact that we know who wrote what part. It's actually, it's really great, because sometimes, you know, you're looking or reading at the poetry that's a collab, and you don't know who did what. But here we do, and that just makes an awful lot of difference, I personally think, because it's an insight into each person and how they write, but they did it so well together that, I would have found it difficult to know who had written what. But I like that, the cadence of your writing hints to me, the music you hear, your pen dances subconsciously to the tune. That's beautiful. It really is. Yeah, I enjoyed it very much. And thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. And Gray, I would like to know what you thought of Aphasiana and Papa Mama Jama's poem.
Yeah, it was a wonderful seamless collaboration. I really enjoyed her SoundCloud as well. She has a wonderful reading voice. But, you know, it really speaks to the love that two people share in a long distance, and being able to connect through the words written. So that to me is a beautiful thing. Well done.
It is. And you're giving such fabulous comments today, Gray. Okay, we're ready for the next poem, Katie.
Okay, sorry, I was on mute. Okay, we have the next one we have is also a SoundCloud. And it's A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing by Titus Llewellyn. So, Gray, if you could get that one for us, please.
You bet. Here we go.
A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. There are moments when gliding on the lake, enchantments do reach such epic proportion. Nothing like an adventure. Dreams that make a downy wolfbane plant, the mere distortion would see to its saliva. With merely trickles, having dispensed toxin, methinks of Hades. It could hang some dreadful pangs, ventricles uplifting heartbeats, far cry from Cyclades. Found by the clade, whose wretched trunks, whose claws it clutched at. Wolves? Struth? To think it rabies, plasma movement amongst a savage brood. Who'd leave a devil's hoof? Where once before her satin gown did move. The waters raised, fear altars do braze a while. For had it served the good for this, she'd prove cultured still, having changed to wend hostile. So near, so far, our mute shuddered to a halt. A mighty crown compounds the many calms. A sign, a gnarly point, fangs they will retort. They'll pull to shreds, increase panic alarms.
I want to thank Titus. We got a lot of SoundCloud to be playing today. I'm so excited, especially because these people are writing and then they're sending a SoundCloud because they live on the other side of the world. You know, I really appreciate it, especially Titus. His poetry is always so classical and it's so crisp. And, you know, he wrote for this is one of the museum pieces from the winter park that he entered. And I just thought that this was just a beautiful poem of how he looked so deeply in what he saw inside of the imagery. And especially right here, just the way he speaks, to think it rabies, plasma movement amongst a savage brood. Could leave a devil's hoof where once before her satin gown did move. Oh, my goodness. And just to hear him read that just makes it even more spectacular. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, he does have a stupendous reading voice. I mean, it really, it gives and movement to his words, which is, you know, you wouldn't get just reading them. He just gives so much life to it. That last stanza, by golly. So near, so far, our mute shuddered to a halt. A mighty crown compounds the many calms. A sign, a gnarly point, fanged, they will retort. They'll pull to shreds increased panic alarms. Oh, that's whoa, scary stuff there. We don't know what's going to happen now. Yeah, it's getting to that point, isn't it? I thought it was brilliantly done. I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, and Gray, I'd love to know what you thought of Titus's poem.
Yeah, he has such a classical style to his writing. It's quite beautiful, as well as his reading. You know, he has a fantastic reading voice as well. But a wolf in sheep's clothing. And, you know, he really brings that to light with bound by the clad, whose wretched trunks, whose wretched trunks, whose claws it clutched at wolves, struth. Do you think it rabies plasma movement amongst the savage brood, who'd leave a devil's hoof where once before her satin gown did move? You know, really paints amazing picture in your mind with his storytelling. So beautiful, right? And a fantastic read.
Great, thank you. And Katie, we're on the roll for our next poem.
Okay. And our next one is A Poetic Seduction by Stargazer 777. I don't know, is this a lady or a guy? Do anybody
it's a
tell
woman,
me?
A young, yeah, yeah. She's female.
Female. Well, okay, look. Lulu, would you like to give this a read for us, please?
Yes, I'll try. A Poetic Seduction by Stargazer 777. 1. Miles and miles have set their suns on me. Sometimes I forget the whistling mist that swirls between my thighs, the breath and the poem that have touched a palm to many a man's chest. Sometimes I'm all alone when she awakens. Sometimes I am ravished by her magnetism in a sleep more red than the day. 2. His voice was a lion, purr against my belly, writing poems in the spaces too far apart and too hot to cross. Where is the line between love and companion when bodies have remained sovereign, though hostage to uncharted fire, sentiments drawn under the flesh without ever meeting touch. I can't pretend to understand the potency and allure of words opening the curtain, dripping like wax into my womb and remaining there, ever warm, ever pulsing in the poem. And Gray Eyes, I would like to know what you think of Stargazer's poem.
Well, you did a beautiful read on the poem. And, you know, the poem speaks to the poetic seduction of her lover and how he brings out this passion and desire in her. His voice was a lion's purr against my belly, writing poems in the spaces too far apart and too hot to cross. Where is the line between lover and companion when bodies have remained sovereign, though hostage in an uncharted fire? I mean, that's just beautiful. Amazing, right? And fantastic read, Leah.
Thank you, Greg.
Katie, what did you think?
Oh, yes, I agree. I agree. It was a fabulous read. I really enjoyed that. And it's just a beautiful piece of poetry, isn't it? Really lovely. This sentiment drawn under the flesh without ever needing touch. I can't pretend to understand the potency and allure of words opening the curtain. And then we go into dripping like wax, which I thought was a lovely metaphor. So yes, I think it was beautifully done and so sweet as well as sensual, which is a great knack if you've got it. So thank you so much for sharing that with the Stargazer. It was wonderful.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Lou, what are your thoughts?
Well, I just loved her imagery here. She said that she was writing to be seduced by something more than touch, is to have been truly alive in the moment. And I thought that she caught those moments in here. I like the stanza that Gray read because you can see that there. But I also loved here where she showed that to be hostage to uncharted fire, sentiments drawn under the flesh without ever needing touch. I can't pretend to understand the potency in the lure. And I thought that she got that, especially with her ending stanza, was dripping, you know, the word, your words, of words opening the curtain, dripping like wax into my room to be so deeply touched sensually by somebody's words without them having to touch you. And that does take a master of tongue. Okay. So, Katie, we're ready for our next poem.
Right. And here it is, winging its merry way. And this is No Poets Burn Them All. Wow. No Poets Burn Them All by Ben Hart. And this is the sound called. Wow. I'm ducking.
Gray?
Yep. No problem.
Thank you.
So I'm just clicking on it now.
Thank you.
Okay, No Poets Burn Them All by Ben Hart. And we'll get to it in 1 second. All right, here we go. I can barely breathe at rest.
I think there's a recording, Gray.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I will play that.
No offense. Not that we didn't want to hear you read.
Okay, we have a caller here.
Okay.
I believe it's Frank, what it costs him.
Yay!
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, Frank, yeah. We sure can. Welcome to the show.
All right, I'll try to stay as long as I can on.
Okay, go.
Okay.
Okay, by Ben Hart. I'm not seeing one.
Oh.
No.
There's a new recording?
No.
Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to bypass that because I can put that on Gray's show on Saturday. So I'll get the link up then so we can hear Ben read. Sorry, Ben. We'll get you on Saturday. Okay, so we're up, ready for the next poem again. Miss Katie?
Okay. No problemo, as they say somewhere. yes, here we
go.
I got it. Now and Then by Jobrez. And let's make use of our wonderfully voiced Frank. Would you care to read this for us, please?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll give it a start here. If you can hear me.
We can hear you, thank
now,
you. Yes, we can.
All right. Now and Then. There were five of us over an ATS band. Number five's father was a different man. None of us knew Toad as young adult. Anger from youngest at bomb was a result. The father to the other four left in 65. Mom gave up so much to keep her kids alive. Dad married a woman with a son of her own. Stepmom, stepbrother, we met each other on the phone. Mom's relatives in California looked down their noses. She moved us to L.A., no bed of roses. Auntie had no husband or kids to take care of. Lived with her at first, but she was high above. Uncle and Silver Lake had no children because he'd never be married just the way he was. So moved in with him for just a little while. Open drugs and sex were not just our style. 6 different schools by third grade bullies. Hit and jerk, painful memories made. Little brother sent off to live with grandmother. Missed him for so long, was my closest brother. Back to the Midwest, mom and a young 5. A wealthy guy paid the bills away we could survive. Wasn't ever easy, can't say it was fun. Now I'm in my 60s and I'm still not alone. Mom passed on in 19, so did mother, brother. Middle brother, both the same year, couldn't bear another. The 4 sibs left, don't talk or visit each other. Things just aren't the same without mum and brother. End of poem.
Oh, you did
sorry,
a fantastic.
My eyes are, those letters are so small for me. I apologize there. My eyes are seeing so small, the letters at this moment.
No, yeah, it's hard for me to read certain fonts too. but you did a you did a spectacular job.
I appreciate that.
The more, I guess, I shouldn't read so much. But what I loved about this was the rhyme. And what he did was he talked to this poet, talked about different types of family types, nuclear family, single parent, extended families, childless families, step families, and grandparent family. You know, I thought that, you know, this is, he just went into one stanza. It just, the rhythm, the rhyme was just perfect. And even though they were talking about such painful things, we were just going into each stanza, at least for me, and I it was just feeling differently the things that, you know, happen in families. And especially when I heard Frank reading his last stanza, the 4 sibs left don't talk or visit each other. Things just aren't the same without mother and brother. You know, when you, the different family types that you have to deal with and the pain you deal with and how if things that happen in families, unfortunately, sometimes will either bring a family together or separate families. And, you know, I do believe that bloodline doesn't always need family to me. You know, it takes a village to raise children, to take care of parents and, you know, sick siblings or even their own parents, you know, and I just thought this was just wonderfully penned. What did you think, Katie?
This was very well written. This has got so much in it. I mean, all the different things he approaches and deals with. I mean, good heavens, what a mix of a family, so many people all relying on each other and then finding out they couldn't rely on each other and people being separated and missing each other. And then you have that horrible, not horrible, but sad last stanza. The 4 sibs left don't talk or visit each other. Things just aren't the same without mom and brother. Oh, so well written and so sad. So thank you for sharing that with us, though.
Thank you. And what did you think, Gray?
Well, I agree with everything that you and Weaver have said so far. Life can be very tumultuous, and that's no that's as clearly evident as in this poem, which had a beautiful flow to it as well. Although the subject matter was kind of morose and dark, but this is the modern life that we live. Unfortunately, in so many cases, a lot of families are brought into the world like this, so very telling, right? Well read, Frank.
Great.
Thank you.
And Frank, I would like to know your opinion.
This is a very powerful poem. There's so much depth and meaning to it. You know, the sentiment expressed here are genuine. It makes me think about when I go to nursing homes at times to, you know, enliven a bit the spirit of the people there. And I can see, you know, at times the disconnect with the families. At times the opposite, you know, the connection with families. Generation and the rest of us, you know.
Great. Excellent comment, everybody. And we're ready for our next front page pick.
Okay, and the next one is Death to Parts by Hope Soul. And I will read this one. I hope I do it justice, Hope. Death to parts. There are times I find myself hiding underneath thin skin, cursing a foot to kick an ass that wishes to be anywhere but in this giant bed, where dreams, thin hair, and paperwork piles up. Nightmares are more like everyday lovers, always on time to keep me up till dawn. I've become harsh, mean, at times cruel, with a face that lies to whoever is watching. The sweetness is drying beneath a sun that sides with California's red-hot state, holding the blues, but things are always bigger in Texas. A stone-carved ashtray has taken the spot of a single wet rose, wine bottles broken alongside, wants and wishful thinking, need of sweating out excess, birthday candles set, burn it all down, 40 years of time not taken. Think curves hold hands with waste, what a waste, crying with the moon. Glass tears keep zero, so shows no sign of cares. Thinking more I should act the same, push it down, toss melts atop it all. Hold a funeral for the rose, ruby wine, empty almond oil bottles, and my poetry skills. Bury the sugar plums that dance on the thunder, grove fingers, tips to tap. Hips which swayed to the phantom as I made love to each word. With lack of skill, molding each line and arch, sculpting breaks to help a pause, as your dear reader licked it all up. Screw it, blackouts, thrusting spaces, leave it 6 feet under with all the other pages of me. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. You know, you did such a fabulous job in reading Hope poem. You know, what I like is the honesty and, you know, that brutality. Sometimes we beat ourselves up more than we should. We can be too hard on ourselves. You know, I can understand the feelings where, you know, you just want to hide because you just get so tired of, you know, rolling out of bed and having to deal with all the crap that you keep piling up every day. And, you know, and it makes it hard that, you know, sometimes with all this pressure, we tend to, you know, get mad at ourselves for not doing this and not doing that and not treating other people in so much as the way that you've been treated. But, you know, for me, that I have found is that if I allow that, you know, poetry allows me to write and take out all those emotions so that they don't in some way pile up. And it allows it to spill onto the page, and it allows me that release in so much to use the words to form it to this beautiful, like beautiful poetry and emotions that she expresses here in her poem. And I just lost my page. Give me just a second. But what I love so much is that once I write, I am so really impressed by this poem that once I'm able to express myself, then all that pile up just seems to drain out. And, you know, I don't want to be soured and to become acidic. And so I have to find a way to release it. And in poetry, I do, you know, right here where she says that each word with lack of skill, which I don't believe she has any lack of skill, molding each line and arch, sculpting breaks to help a pause. As you, dear reader, lick it all up, screw it, blackout, thrusting spaces, leave it 6 feet under with all the other pages of me. So I'm just like, you know, go sit over there with the rest of the problems because I'll get to you when I can. And I didn't mean to make a long comment, but I really love this poem. What did you think about the poem, Gray?
I thought it was very beautiful. You know, it really has a unique, insightful language to it that speaks to the darkness of a writer and that which they endure in their daily lives. So I thought it was a very beautiful expression of being a poet and the darkness that resides within us all. So well done. Excellent read as well, Weaver.
She did. She did a great job. And what did you think, Frank?
Yeah, well, first of all, I have to say the same thing. Weaver was a great read. You know, this is like a confession of poem. You know, what's so remarkable about Hope's write, her poetry is that she's very, very, how would I say, she just throws in a powerful punch in writing. It's very, very, how would I say, it has this essence of its own. She writes with her sentiments expressed, and her metaphors are very exquisite. Each time I read her poetry, I'm always marveled by the severity of her words. And this is an exception. She did a fantastic job. It's a very powerful poem, and the theme itself is a very powerful one.
Great. Thank you. Wonderful comment. And how about you, Katie? You did a beautiful job in reading.
Oh, I wish I had. I'm sorry that I didn't do a lot better. I couldn't quite get the case.
You did.
I apologize. But it was beautiful. And I was very pleased to see again a mention of the almond oil bottles. I always look forward to that in your poetry. I don't think it was in the last one I read, but it's certainly there. And I do love seeing it because my mind plays around with this empty almond oil bottles. I imagine them placed on a windowsill, one after the other. I don't know why. I just think it's a wonderful idea. And I thought this was beautiful. I loved it. I can see, I understand, and I feel sometimes your frustration, a lot of the times your love for what you do, but you don't find it easy. I know. So I think it's very well done, and it's great. So please keep on writing. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. And we're ready for our next poem.
Okay, and our next one is, come on, oh, there it is. Where Mockingbirds, it's gone again. Where Mockingbirds Cry by Cedar Chapman. And Gray, would you give this a read for us, please?
Sure. Where Mockingbirds Cry by Cedar Chapman. When bugles blow to blackened skies, ash falls like snow on deadened eyes. Poppies burn fields to and fro, silent singing like a warm July. Though pale pastures may grow where black ravens fly, dare you not go where mockingbirds cry. Rage, rage, rage. Let not brass trumpet sound the stage. Slumber can wait. Stay here with me. Lay still beneath our sycamore tree, pondering smiles of the crescent moon. Lunar songs bathe glimmering dunes. Taste the menthol, our first kiss. A flickering beacon guides dark abyss. Let us embark, two storms will fly. Our hands entwined, we'll surely defy. A thousand sunsets, yet unseen. Skies ablaze, its hues serene. Rage, rage, rage. Out, out, damn spots of age. Into filled beds you shall rise, flames be kindled in your hazel eyes, mirrors fracture, crumble to dust, ballads grieve at breast seams, copper statue, green with rust, dripping watercolor dreams. My voice leads you to the light, my flesh embloodied, my spirit rues, knuckles clenched, sinewy white, splintered knees. Unread oak pew. I grasped onto your ankles, floating up high. Do not go gentle to where mockingbirds fly, cry and foam.
You did a fantastic job of reading this. You know, he says in his author's notes that you cannot recreate a masterpiece, but if talent being gold, then all is all I can afford. As a facsimile wordsmith by my shaky hand. Some say ignorance is bliss, so perhaps full gold can still spread joy. I've added literary and religious symbols and allusions just to have more fun with it. And so, you know, I really, he says that he did quote directly from Dylan Thomas, Don't Go Gentle, and also included rage as a tribute to the inspiration for this poem. And I thought that he did such a fabulous job to that. And I like right here where he says, mirrors fracture, crumble to dust, ballads grieve at brace seam, copper statue green with rust, dripping waller cutter dreams. And you can just literally see that imagery. And great, I'm going to have to call back.
Okay. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, yes, I can see the allusions that he's talking about. I thought I particularly love that poem, Do Not Go Gently Into That Good Night. I love that. I think it's just rage against the dying of the light. It just sounds so, you know, we can be everything. Nothing that you throw at us will faze us. I like that so much. And I like the fact that he has written the way he has. My voice leads you to the light. My flesh bloodied, my spirit bruised, knuckles clenched, sinewy white, splintered knees on a red oak pew. Ah, so much. And it's got a taste of anarchy about it, which I really enjoyed. So thank you so much, Cedar, for sharing.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
I thought the poem was magnificent. It was very visceral. It just contained raw emotion from the beginning to end. I like the metaphor here that was used with the mockingbirds. This poem was also another incredible thing about it. It was a rhyme in which I didn't realize until after a bit. And I thought it just overall, essentially, it was just a fantastic read. It was a fantastic poem that conveyed very strong emotions. And it was dark in nature, but nevertheless, it did have that quality of dark poetry that I do admire.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. Yeah, and I thought it was beautiful. I mean, it really had a classical appeal to it. You know, it really captures the essence of both those artists that he spoke of. And I thought it was wonderful, wonderful write and fabulous to read it as well. So great job. Thank you for sharing, Cedar. All right, Katie, what do we have next?
Well, before we go into open poetry, we'll have one last SoundCloud from Selena. Growler groaning midst whiskey money moaning by Selena. And that's got a SoundCloud. If you could find that for us, it'd be great.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Got a place down the road a piece. Follow me there.
This guy was no second liner. He followed his own parade. Could I trust him? Doubted that. Didn't have much choice. There was something about him made me feel I needed a gree-gree. But he was a long, cool drink of water, and I was as parched as a desert thistle in the noonday sun.
Out here, the swamp swims in music. Bullfrogs bloated moans to mating. And those cypress and fetid moss jackals, growling, tail-slapping beasties, feasting as owls question an Anubian night, swallowing all things. Out here, we's alone on the edge of death, where life begins. This old shack ain't much, but bourbon on the back porch in moonlight whispers its ancient tongue toast to macabre dealings.
As nervous as that cat on a hot tin roof, I watched him Splash hefty shots of bourbon into two glasses. As he moved toward me, I perceived that was no picayune in his pants. Thinking that could be a fine lagniappe that would sweeten the close of this deal, I took the drink, making sure he felt my fingers subtly stroking his suggestively. I detected the desired response in those piercing pistachio peepers that left me standing shivering in my shimmies. So, how are we gonna play this?
Twould seem this here atmosphere calls forth your baser instincts. That's good and all, but business should be fleshed out, for flesh is drawn across this avenue of your carnal cravings. So, what you want done? When? Where? And by what means squares my route delivered? Pour les clairs de lune vers le sang cher. Ne vous parlez-vous vite.
Pulling me toward him roughly, his fire breath giving me frissons. This guy could mix up a whole mess of misère for me with his moody magnetism. When you deliver, you'll get the rest. He got there was more than cash on the table. His greedy greens drank in my curves like a wino waiting for his next fix. I slipped a paper into his hands. When and where? I whispered in his ear. I felt him quiver as he pressed against me, casting a carnal cunha on me. Now, how about another shot, mon cher? Needing to calm my nerves, I took out a cigarette.
Beat it, Toots. My plate's full, and I've got a lot of leather to burn.
Oh my goodness, I want to thank, congratulations to Stelina and Intimidus Rex for this fabulous poem. I see here in his author's notes that he was using New Orleans dialect, and I thought that they did that beautifully, both of them. Their imagery is just throughout here, this dark noir poem that, you know, you just felt like you were in, you know, some bar, smoky, you know, with people just drinking their drinks. You can hear the glasses clinking. You can hear the soft talk. I smiled with some of these. His greedy greens drank in my curves like a wino waiting for his next fix. And this one, I slipped the paper into his hands. When and where, I whispered in his ear. I felt him quiver as he pressed against me, casting a cardinal cunha upon me. It was just fabulous, just from the beginning to the end. Bravo to the both of them. What did you think about the poem, Gray Eyes?
Well, I thought it was a wonderful collab. You know, it really was seamless, and the flow was beautiful, especially with the music.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me wonder how they do that with the SoundCloud. But just a beautiful poem. You know, you can feel the intensity in the connection that's between the two characters. Hope's old Ellen says in the amazing way, the theatrical effects from the atmosphere and the chemistry between Rex take it to another level. Beautiful. And, yeah, so wonderful, right? And a fantastic read, two fantastic reads as well. And I'd like to say hello to the tactical poet.
Is there somebody in the group? I didn't see
yeah.
them come in. I see Amy, and I see Hope, and I don't see that. So welcome, welcome, tactical poet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Welcome, welcome. And what did you think, Katie, of this fabulous poem?
Well, it was that. It was actually fabulous, as one would expect from our dear Selena. Expect no less. And I have to say, I love her collaborations with Intimidus Rex. I think they're absolutely brilliant. It's the accent. I mean, all right, perhaps a little bit easier for him than her, but she does it so well. And it's just, it's funny and sexy, which, you know, you can't ask for more than that, can you? Have a good laugh while you... No, never mind. Anyway, wonderfully done, Stelina. Wonderfully done, Rex. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
And Frank, I would love to know what you think.
Well, I have to say that I did notice to some extent the accents here. In particular, I was trying to figure out Selena's accent there. She was going a lot with Louisiana. So I knew Rex could do, he's very talented. This just brought me down memory lane of Casablanca, of Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman. This was just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The music in the background was sensational. The lingo threw me off a bit because I'm not familiarized with Louisiana lingo. But I thought overall the essence of poem was fabulous, and the collaboration was just, as an artist myself, I appreciate another artist, in particular two artists. Fantastic job.
Thank you very much. And we're ready for our next poem.
Okay. Our next one is When I Fell for You by Krista. And I don't know, but I'll read this one. When I Fell for You. I met you back as a freshman, but you were a senior then. You were older and loads cooler than what I ever could have been. Yet I was strongly crushing on you, even after a game of chess and a ride back to school for an evening band practice. For all that you were 4 years older, it did not make a difference. I can claim I'm taller, but then I did not have a preference. Continuing near and close to you, the years passed us by. But you only ever said to me a quiet hello and goodbye. I was around when you got married and to hear some baby news. I was around when you were happy, even when she claimed not to love you. I was around when you were single and you struggled with the ex-wife. I was around as you fought to move on, and I prayed for you a more fitting life. Reasoning to draw close to you, a desire for a chance, you were not open to that, so I just kept my distance. It was just too early for you. I understood with no reservation, but still I stuck around as your sister's friend without exception. Resolute, no thing would change. Your lingering stare took my breath away. I'm no longer a little girl, but a woman. The glances are no longer held at bay. What I perceive is my conviction. I ache with the weight of its truth. What I crave for without circumscription is to at no time apart from you. End poem.
Thank you. This poem was recommended by Liz R., and I'm so happy that the poet gave us an opportunity to read her poem on the show. She's new. And what I love about this poem is how she deeply, painfully explains her life of being so in love with somebody and watching them go through their life while you had yours on hold, waiting for them and hoping, and that no matter what, you know, as painful as this is, especially with that last stanza, what I perceive as my conviction, I ache with the weight of its truth. What I crave for without circumcision is that at no time to be apart from me, to just sit there and just watch somebody go through all these issues in their life and that you're waiting for them to see how much you love them. But for some reason, at that moment, they just can't see that you've always been there. And, you know, that's what she talks about, that this is about love and this is about hope. And I hope that she gets her prayers answered. What did you think about the poem that was beautifully read by Weaver Gray?
Yeah, you know, you can feel the pain and the angst and the longing and the desire to connect with this person in the way that you've always dreamt it to be. And, you know, it's very painful and sad, but beautiful at the same time, you know, to know that you love this person so much that she stood by him through all those years and trials and tribulations, loving him still even more. So a wonderful write and a fantastic read, Weaver.
And thank you, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Frank?
Well, the poem was very reminiscent of what perhaps many of us go through in our adolescence. You know, we fall in love with someone and we think it's a perfect person there, whether it's a young adolescent or, well, actually not a female or male, like that. And we go through these emotions. And this is what is remarkable about this poem, that in that reminiscence of the moment and the duration of time, that that person finds it compelled to love, to stick around with the person. And not, it's not easy to go through these emotions. And when you do, and you are sharing with that other person there and going through the trials and tribulations of what Gray was saying, you really acknowledge and really appreciate that even more. I hope the person that she's referring to ultimately has or has not yet appreciated her.
Thank you. And Katie, you read this poem beautifully. What did you think?
Thank you. I stumbled a bit on that last word or so, but I do apologize for that. But I thought this was beautiful. I mean, unrequited love has got to be the most painful thing of all. But to actually care that much that you hang about, put your own life on hold for year upon year just seems to me, I mean, you know, to be honest, that is likely to turn you quite bitter if you, you know, continue to love someone who doesn't actually even notice you. Oh, my goodness, that's so sad. So I think this was beautifully written. It gave us the whole idea, the whole feeling that comes with this kind of love, which is asks for nothing, just is there, although very sad. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you. And we're ready for our next poem.
And our next one is SoundCloud. And it's I Like It Like That by Poetic Picasso. I wonder if you could put that on for us, please, Gray.
Oh, I don't know if this is going to be the right one.
Rusty Fisher, the poor gent that was my old friend, had presented himself to me as a hoary and fragile man seen, and his peculiar mien was that of a scared namby-pamby, for the celeritous pair in his dilated eyes was truly
Gray?
Palpable.
Yep, it's not the right one.
The house of Usher was towered.
Yeah, it's not!
No, it could have been okay. I mean, there was no problem with me if you would have put that one on.
There we go.
We look into each other's eyes and feel the seduction of the moonlight, drawn by the magnetic vibes exuding from our eroticism as our tingling bodies unite in a sensual salsa dance. The floating rhythm from a hot and sexy Latin beat. Are we tonight your lover, whispering Spanish temptation? Our feet glide to the wings of our nocturnal passion. Side to side drenched in the intoxication of our aroma. the verse of Odette begs for a taste of a Caribbean kiss. Our fingers explore every edge of our flesh with reluctant caresses. Our soul shiver in the motion of the exoticism from the music. As we dip into the roaring depth of the lunar attraction, and downshift to the steps of the steaming drops of San Juan. I cut from your bosom and sit slowly, the arousing substance, until you feel the moisture of my tongue soaked in your wine. The bongo drums sum the moans of an impassioned piano, and I am Rico Suave, shaking your spicy maracas. Hey, baby, I like it like that. It is la chica muy caliente, the wild dove that I desire. La llama que me arde. Hey, baby, I like it like that. I like it like that. Holy. Holy.
I have got to say, I didn't know you could make my cheeks turn red, Francisco, but you did, especially towards the end. I know. Que caliente. And, okay, here we go. The bongo drums sound the moans of an impassioned piano, and I am Rico Suave. I love that. Shaking your spicy maracas. Ay, Dios. Ay, Dios.
You got to blame those maracas there now.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, baby. I've sung this before. I like it like that. I really love this song. I like it like that. Eres la chica muy caliente.
You told me before. There you go. You told me before. You said before that you enjoy, that you like the song. So I thought about writing the song, and you'll be out there.
And you did it perfectly. I really enjoyed it. What did you think, Ray Hines? Oh. Ray, did your headset burn?
No, I was on mute. Yeah, I was on fire. this is a fantastic, steamy rate, full of, seduction and sensuality. A beautiful read as well. It's a great job, Ray.
Well, you know something, Ray? I'm going to take you to San Juan. I've been to Puerto Rico once. I'm going to take you to San Juan so you can see a beautiful moonlight over there. And you'll fall into the effects of what those bongo drums really mean.
Thank you, Clay. And Katie, what did you think?
I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I mean, the wordage, so clever. as our tingling bodies unite in a sensual salsa dance. Excuse me, I'm not at all hurt that you're going to take Gray and not the Lou and I, but, you know, don't worry about it.
There you go. There's always reservation for the both of you there now. Let's not be there.
It's too late now. We'll pick you up over there in
Edinburgh.
I can fly from Edinburgh. Mm. I might get a bit tired by the time I get there, but I can fly.
Oh, believe me, San Juan is a beautiful place. Under a beautiful moonlight, you'd be mesmerized.
Oh, I would love that. It sounds wonderful. And when I can walk outside again, when I can get around again, I'll be doing that. Ah, lovely. Something to look forward to. So, yes, beautifully as ever, beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I love your SoundCloud.
Oh, thank you very much. And I'm glad I keep you awake, at least.
I'm going to be thinking
of drums in my raka. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to be thinking of spicy rakas. I love it. Have a little bit of
Oh my goodness.
Wonderful.
Oh my goodness. Yes, agreed. We're ready for our next open poetry poem.
Okay. And next we have Sunlight Silvering by Luke J.R. And Gray, could you read this for us, please?
Sure. Sunlight Silvering. How do you think it feels for someone like me? I imagine you're feeling helpless, lonely as can be. I'm not afraid to show you my scars. I'm not afraid to accept you for who you are. And don't be afraid of sudden fallen stars. I'm not afraid to reach you. Feeling like my mind, the worst enemy. It can be kind, while it can also bring misery. I could believe in something better, realism, would show that I'm just a letter written to you or written to me. It doesn't matter how far you may be. How do you think it feels to be someone like me? I imagine you're feeling lonely as can be. Well, I'm not afraid to show you how real I feel. I'm not afraid to show you the heart can heal. While it can be broken into many pieces, I'm not afraid to take the time to put us back together. Boxy, I'm ahead of my time. Snapped, I'm feeling like a mime. Demolished, I'm demonstrating deconstruction. Self-input, self-declare, self-aware, self-inhibited, self-restarted, self-care. I'm feeling like the moon awoken for me while the sun burns every part of me. I feel like the moon awoken for me while the sun burns every part of me to put us back together. End poem.
Mm. You know, what he was saying here in his author's note, written to a different version of me, abuse, friendship, family, reality, life, school. You know, this is just deeply painful to when I read something like this. And I can understand those emotions that he has in here, you know, at that time where just that first stanza. How do you think it feels for someone like me? I imagine you're feeling hopeless, lonely as can be. I'm not afraid to show you my scars. I'm not afraid to accept you for who you are. And don't be afraid of sudden fallen stars. I'm not afraid to reach you. You know, when we look at other people, especially if we understand coming from abusive relationships, how that changes us, but it also changes us in a way when we look at somebody else that's going through this, that I can expose myself to you, and I'm not afraid to expose myself to you. So please don't be afraid to let me know how you feel, because I understand that loneliness. And, you know, this really touched me deeply. And I'm sorry when anybody goes through this. And in fact, one of the poets who wrote a poem here called Gardener of Adjusting,
wrote, I understand this. I spent most of my life in abusive situations. It will remain that way until I die. I no longer trust completely because humans made it that way. Most people think that living a solitary life is sad. It is not if you are happy away from people. I keep people at a distance because I don't want them to hurt me. Many have, which is why it is better to just be alone. You know, and that's just so sad when you get into that type of situation where you no longer trust people because of the things they've done to you. And, you know, in some ways, living in the solitary is not, I think as poets, we don't mind that at times, but it doesn't mean that everybody's like that. And I hopefully she'll find, you know, somebody that will treat her the way that she deserves to be trusted. And what did you think about the poem, Katie?
Oh, yes, I can totally relate to this. It's you don't ever know what someone's going through. Unlike, you know, a broken limb with a plaster on it or a cut with a plaster, you can't see the pain and the hurt and the injury that's been done to someone through lack of love, through all of those things. It just eats you away. The person that you were becomes somebody who can't trust, who curls up inside themselves and does not allow anyone in, only because they can't bear to be hurt again. And you feel that you can't trust your own instincts when it comes to people either, when you get to that particular position where everything is possibly going to cause you an injury. So I can truly understand what this feels like. So beautifully, beautifully written. I really thought it was a marvelous job. Thank you.
No, thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Frank?
You know, there's so much to be said about this poem. You know, the emotions that I'll express in this poem and the message of the poem are just very, very visceral as well. You know, we go through, you know, harshness in life. When we go through these experiences, you know, we hope to find, you know, a commonality with someone else who experiences this same type of emotions and same type of harshness. You know, what I like above all was just the real effort of the right and what the poem was trying to convey. It's a very powerful poem, and it's sad to believe that this could happen, but fortunately it does.
Thank you. That's a beautiful comment, Frank. And how about you, Gray? Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was very painful. You know, going to that comment, you know, it's very hard to come through abuse and keep your head about your shoulders and want to just trudge through life through meeting new people and expressing yourself with the love that you have. And because you're afraid it'll be abused. And, you know, having your heart shattered into a million pieces is not a great feeling, but to be able to put it back together is, you know, a triumph and personal destruction. So, well written, and a pleasure to read it.
Thank you, Greg. And now we're back to you, Katie.
Okay. And the next one up is Virtue by Hope Soul. And I will give this a read. Virtue. I'm going to adjust my screen a little bit better. Waiting for a yes or no, for the water to run ice cold, for snow to snow, ink to dry, planes to fly, autumn makes a bride, taxis hitching a lift with Ubers, an empty bed to feel warmth, tangled hair turned to robes, tombstone picture book for graves, 60-day divorce then wait for our last name to change. Heat in July calls June bugs to chirp, asking for cooler summers. Steam leaves no traces, the red marks on my skin fade. More of a drinker than an eater, more than a doer than a talker. Shadow boxer, not a fighter. of brandy, make love to gin, rain to rain, makes dirt like wet mud. After dinner causes a hunger, nicotine to feed the bees. Place me on the tip, on the lip next to the filter, hand roll me and smoke. Let air breathe, exhale out all over the faceless passers-byers. Let them taste how long it is to wait for the smoke to clear. End poem.
You know, I saw that she said here she was writing about relationship, patience, and love. And, you know, I was just, you know, thinking about right there where Katie had read, you know, shadow boxer, not a fighter, lover of brandy, make love to gin, rain to rain, make dirt lick wet mud, after dinner causes a hunger, nicotine to feed the bees, place me on the lip next to the filter, hand roll me in smoke. You know, there's just things about love that just take time, you know. You have to decide whether, you know, nobody wants to be in a relationship where they feel like they have to be boxing all the time, you know. And then she brings out that she's not a fighter, and, you know, and they always talk about, I'm a lover, not a fighter. And, you know, there's that, you know, that moment in time where, you know, you take that drink and that person just, and, you know, it's an intoxicating love, and you make love to them. And then I really loved her metaphors, you know, here. I just, you know, dirt lick, wet mud. I just got a big kick out of that. And the after dinner hunger and the nicotine where she's just talking, you know, the things that you have, you know, you have to keep busy and patient for things. And, you know, who doesn't like to be rolled around? What did you think about the poem, Gray Eyes?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was beautiful. She has a unique voice that is very clear and intentful. You know, you really get that through this write. And I thought it was well written and great read as well.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. And what did you think, Frank?
You know, the whole issue of patience is something that's very hard at times for us to bear. But I think it's remarkable that you can write a poem that's based on the virtue of patience, you know, in which it's called virtue. And I believe that in the end, you know, when we realize these things, you know, and we appreciate virtue such as patience, we grow as a person. And I think that she's conveying this in this message, you know. She did just doing a fantastic job overall with her poetry lately that I find very admiring.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Agreed. Wonderful comment, Frank. And what did you think, Katie?
Oh, I do enjoy reading Hope's work. It's always so interesting. You know, you think you're looking at one particular angle and then suddenly it's turned on its head and you're looking at it from a different angle entirely. It got me when you know, we were talking about the red marks on my skin fade, more of a drinker than an eater. But before that we had tangled hair turns to braids, tombstone picture books for graves, 60-day divorce then wait for a last name to change. So, you know, it wasn't going that smoothly. You know, that gave me a bit of a shock. I thought, that doesn't sound too great. But then, you know, it seems to go on and things get a bit better, maybe. And then things don't get so much better at the end there, I don't think. Beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. As I say, so much complexity that it's a pleasure to read. So thank you, Hope, for sharing.
Thank you. And we're ready for our next poem.
And we have, now, am I going to be able to do this? We'll try. From No One to Someone You Love by Nuno Cardoso. Yay! That doesn't sound too bad.
Do you want me to read, yes, please?
Yes, please, if you would, Frank. Thank you.
All right. Since it's a brevity, I'll give it a start here. It's by Nuno Cardoso. It's called From No One to Someone You Love. From my thorns, you made flowers bloom. From my promises, you made truth swoon. From your toes you've taken steps, from hours you've made months, from the dark side of the moon you've made love, and from me you've made your husband to be in the poem.
Aww. I really got to say, I love this brevity. You know, I'm looking at Hope's comment. From no one, you have successfully made me emotional. A beautiful brevity, amor. And, you know, and that's true. You know, I loved how he started this. When somebody feels like a no one, but when somebody loves you, they make you feel like someone. And he brought that out so beautifully. What a beautiful, loving tribute to Hope. From my thorns, you've made flowers bloom. You know, when somebody loves you regardless of who you are. And then she ends it, and from me, you've made your husband to be. Ah, what a beautiful love poem. I love this, Nuno. What did you think, Gray?
Well, you did a beautiful job reading it, Frank. And I really liked it.
Oh, you. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. You know, when you find that special somebody, they turn nothings into something. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing. So, excellent, right? And I really enjoyed that last couplet. From me, you made your husband to be. That's a beautiful sentiment.
Great. And what did you think, Frank?
You know, it's a brevity, but beneath the surface of the words, you know, itself, there is that essence of love that is being culminated by two lovers, or actually more than two lovers, two people in love. And when it is in that high regard that we find love, we find ourselves even more reverential in that love. And I think that Nuno and Hope, they just, you know, they connect in a level that only lovers can connect. And I think that poetry just exudes with just the love that they demonstrate daily, I imagine. So I thought this poem was very, very effective in that way. Very, very romantic as well. And I have to give kudos to the both.
Agreed. And what did you think, Katie?
Oh, I think this is lovely. It's so beautifully written. It's so sweet. Yeah, I really... You made me, between the two of you, you've made me believe that love is possible. I didn't ever think it was, I have to be honest. I've never had enough lot of luck with it. But you obviously have, and I think this is lovely. And obviously, that last stanza, whoa, I like it so much. So, well done. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Lovely.
Yeah, thank you. And I was reading one of the other poets wrote a comment, Dark Night of the Soul said, husband-to-be? Is it official? Quite a sweet piece. I love from hours you've made months. And then Nuno answers, it's pretty official. Yes, Doug. Haha. Thank you for your comment. So I want to wish them a happy, happy marriage up to be that's coming, a wedding. And we all wish you the best, guys.
We're invited there. Now we've got us up there.
Congratulations.
The banquets in Europe are fantastic.
Agreed. Well, happy congratulations.
Yeah,
and we're ready for our next. Yeah, we're ready for our next poem. Thank you.
And our next poem is You Don't Know by Jack Tomkovic. Gray, would you like to read this for us, please?
Oh, sure. Oh, hold on. I've got to refresh. Okay. So this is You Don't Know by Jack Tomkovic. At almost 72 moons, you don't know how many skips and trips around the block you get, how many at-bats, winning home runs, how many first key jittery birdies, how many kisses hugs, and Jack, Jack, lover, darlings. You don't know, and I don't know either, how many 4th of July fireworks or drone displays, how many sunsets over green treetops, river oaks, and sycamores, how many squeals of joy, how many nifty tricks with rabbits and hats and all that, how many walks along the creek, how many woodpeckers knocking, turtles scooting, squirrels tasting chails, bunnies munching clover, deer licking fawns on the lawn. You don't know, and I don't either. End poem.
Wonderful read, Gray. And I always like Jack Tompkins' poem. He said here, getting older is not for the faint of heart. Ha! Enjoy this attempt at wisdom, please. And, you know, he said he's talking about life, love, aging, and nature, you know, which I just, you know, I could just say, how many walks along the creek, how many woodpeppers knocking, turtles scooting, squirrels crossing trails, bunnies munching clover, deer licking fawns on the lawn. You don't know, and I don't know either. You know, that's the one thing about the enjoying life. No matter how old we get, no matter what we're going through, I have always found that the simple pleasures are what makes me the happiest, like he brings out here. How many squeals of joy, and who does not like laughing and squealing and enjoyment? I really enjoyed this. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Yes, although it did point out that it isn't easy to get old by any means, it did also point out the fact that there are so many pluses to being more experienced and having had a little more time to appreciate things. I thought it was great. I liked the stanza that you quoted as well. I thought it was so cool. But I liked how many squeals of joy, how many nifty tricks with rabbits in hats and all that. Ah, beautiful. Very well done. Very cleverly written and full of the feelings that I would have as well about growing older. Wonderfully done. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Frank?
You know, I do admire Jack's poetry. You know, he always brings wit, brings his cleverness. He brings also, you know, a moral to the story. And you do get older. And I do understand one thing that I didn't understand years ago, as I am aging in my age, that I find myself more conscious than I was not before. And I think this type of poetry, and particularly mm-hmm. poem, does represent that. And I thought he did a fantastic job.
Agreed. And Gray, you did a fabulous job. What did you think?
Yeah, you know, I think it's the wondering that keeps us alive, you know, wondering how long we have left on this earth and how many squirrels and bunnies and deer and all that stuff that we get to see before we go, you know, the beautiful, innocent things in life. So excellent job, Jack, and thank you for sharing.
Great, thank you. And we're ready for our next fabulous poem, Miss Katie.
Okay. So now we have Broken Horses by S. Sharp. I'm afraid the gentlemen are having to do an awful lot of work this evening, but we're keeping hold of Frank while we've got him.
All right.
Frank, would you like to read Broken Horses, please?
This is a poem by S. Sharp, make that, Broken Horses, and it goes like this. Broken, walking upside down on timeless. Timeline splitting pistachios like Tuesday. Snapped. Twisted into Thursday, sangria sloshing side to side memories, flower pastel dresses, tacky Hawaiian shirts cross, on my bulletin board crosses hanging, interjecting, marking territory, calling the dogs of midnight sniffing around in the dark, sattling at the roar of oncoming hangovers, horses bucking, waiting to be broken, like me, and above.
Oh my goodness. You did such a fabulous job of reading this poem. Just amazing poetry tonight by Scott Sharp.
And I really enjoyed this. What did you think, Gray Eyes?
Yeah, I thought it was wonderful. I mean, you know, it had excellent imagery. The flow was spot on. And, you know, I like the broken horses, you know, and then he says, horses bucking, waiting to be broken, like me. You know, fantastic, right? And excellent read, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you.
You know, what I liked about his poem was, you know, how he explained the broken horses and the details that he used. Like, he said, splitting pistachios like Tuesday, snap, twisting in the Thursday, sangre sloshing side to side memories. You know, and it sounds like he's remembering something here. You know, like the tacky Hawaiian shirts from Ross, you know. You know, it's just, you know, do we see ourselves like that sometimes? You know, and, you know, like he says, you know, where you marking territory, calling the dogs of midnight, sniffing around in the dark, saddling up the roar, you know, just preparing yourself for what's coming. You know, and he says, and what's coming is the hangovers. So, you know, it just makes me think, you know, what was in here that broke his spirit? You know, I don't know. But it's this just wonderfully written, and it also is deeply painful. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, the thought that somebody thinks of themselves with incipient hangovers in the future, they're like a bucking bronco waiting to be broken. That's sad. I think perhaps, though, if and when he is actually broken, it might make things easier. The choice is out of his hands. I just get a feeling that this is something that they're not able to handle. It's out with their ability to control, which I think is so sad. But there we have, broken and definitely... something's broken. So thank you for sharing that. Very deep and very enjoyable.
Great. And Frank, I would like to know what you thought of the poem you just
read. Well, I thought the poem, you know, it's very, you know, ambiguous to some extent, but yet at the same time, you can understand the point here. He uses the metaphor of, you know, the sangria. He talks about the dogs of midnight and the hangovers. There's something more intrinsic to this poem that has more than just simplicity of what he's trying to convey. I think it's simplified in the notion of broken. I thought this was a very, very detailed, layered poem, although it's not that long. It was just a remarkable poem. And I have to say, any time I see sangria, it takes me back to memory. So we'll take sangria afterwards one day, all of us. Those memories are there, are we? I don't know what my
yes,
will be tonight.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, Katie, we only got 10 minutes left. I can't believe how fast this evening went.
I know.
Our next open poetry poem.
Right, well, I just wanted to ask you. I've got Amy's poem up, but she's left the board,
okay.
Hasn't she? Did I keep that for Saturday?
Yeah, she went to sleep. No, go ahead and do it.
Okay, no problem.
But, yeah, she can, but, you know, she'll be able to listen to the recording afterward.
Yeah, true, I know. But I wish I'd read it while she was here. But anyway, I'll read this one. Life's Mossy Branches by A.R. Mundell. Branches of life stretch before you in wavering tides, seeping into the pores of all you might be. Each shimmering possibility tied by ribbons of illusions, of age and education. Some branches green with hope, others blackened by fires of self-doubt. And that we cannot stretch ourselves over them all is the greatest tragedy. End poem.
This was a very interesting poem. This is a poem where I have to read it several times because it's there's deep thought here. You know,
you know, we're all like trees where we grow and where we stretch. And, you know, we have our hopes. And, you know, especially with age and when you get your education and, you know, you celebrate those lives. But then again, there's this couplet where she says, some branches green with hope, others blackened by fires of self-doubt, where we don't believe in ourselves or things that have happened in our lives, whether it's at work or at school or in our personal life that we're dealing with, you know, where that self-doubt comes there and kind of eats at the branches and makes you believe that you can't go any further. And then the next couplet, and that we cannot stretch ourselves over them all, is the greatest tragedy. You know, sometimes for me, it's we bite off more than we can chew, where we think we can do more and do more in family, do more in education, do more at work, and it just tends to be too much. At least that's what I think. This is a fabulous brevity. What did you think about the poem, Gray? Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, he did a beautiful job of reading the poem, Weaver. But I liked it. You know, life branches out in so many directions that, you know, you can't possibly follow all the branches, especially when they're blackened by fires of self-doubt. You know, and I really find it a very thoughtful poem, you know, deep in perspective and wonderfully delivered. So excellent write and a fabulous read.
No, I agree. Thank you, Gray. And what did you think, Frank?
I would agree here with what's been said here. I agree. It's a very insightful. I thought also it's a very philosophical poem. You know, the whole notion of using nature in the background just allows you to understand the poem even more, the depth of its nature. I just thought it was overall a fantastic write.
Great. And how about you, Katie?
Yes. Oh, yes. I enjoyed this a lot. It is a deep piece of poetry. It talks of what you want from life, what you think you might have, that you will try any possibility to see what becomes of it. And you do have hopes and dreams, but self-doubt, oh, that's a killer. That's a nasty thing to have.
Yes,
so it just, again, it's another thing that eats away at you. There's nothing worse than not knowing or not believing in yourself. And not nice, but as is said, we can't save everything, we can't cover everything and take care of everything. We have to pick our battles, and I think this
Great.
Is very, very well written, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Jamie.
Great, thank you. Excellent comments, everybody, and we have time for one more poem and the front page picks.
Okay, well, I've just gone to the next one that's there on the list. And I don't think I should ask you to read it because your poor voice is getting strained. So I'll read it.
That's okay. Okay. I enjoy listening to you read.
Really?
There you go.
Yes, I do.
It's quite a long one, so I didn't want you to end up being in pain with your poor throat. Okay, here we are. Desire.
Give it a shot there, Katie. Give it a shot there.
I'll give it everything I've got, which isn't a lot, I have to say, but we'll go for it anyway.
And do it for the gang.
I'll do that old thing. I can do this. Right. You may crave me in all append my infant hair, static dust, my flat, tired voice. Rusted blue eyes spent days memorizing ceiling kernels, my pillow drowned lips, hill shoulders framed by dark brown seagrass, a vernal pool caved in below brow line, legs like the negatives of a starshot skies and red dwarfs, cheek bruises blossom and sinus turmeric. I'll sell you the whistle screeching in your ear and wet echoes bouncing across your teeth, like the dull thud of a volleyball against your wrists and the burn trailing thereafter from being slapped in the face. The cold moisture on your face as you fly through the air to be joined in wet salt when your tiny elbows collide with the carpet and cry out in pain. Wrinkles past your cranium longing for the soil fell before your breast, the skin below your chin, the wrinkles of your cheeks, your ashed hair and blotchy forearms in longing sag towards it can all be yours if that is what you crave. End poem.
I really enjoyed this poem by Miljana. Her metaphors are just spectacular. They're the emotions that she is bringing out here are just like she says, you may crave me in my append, my infant hair, static dust, my flat tire voice. I would hate for somebody to think that their voice is a flat tire voice. Rusted blue eyes, spent days memorizing ceiling kernels, my pillow, drowned lips. You know, sometimes we, like I said, we beat ourselves up and we see ourselves in such a harsh light. Like she says, a vernal pool caved in below bra lines, legs like the negatives of star-shot skies and red dwarfs. But man, if you really crave me and you have that desire for me, that's how I see myself. Well, come on, baby. I can be all yours if that is what you crave. What did you think, Trey Ice?
I like it. You know, it's a very personal piece, expressing, you know, the darkness that one feels inside, but doesn't portray to the world. So beautiful read as well, Katie. Excellent write and a fabulous read.
Thank you, Gray. And what did you think, Frank?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, come on, baby, light my fire. There for a minute. You didn't, yeah? just quickly here. I thought the poem was remarkable written. I like the metaphors about it, and I like the analogy here. And the sensuality, there is sensuality in this poem, but I do like the whole nature of craving someone and being the one that's being craved. I'll send you some
donuts,
a croissant, if you are still craving there.
Yeah. And Katie, what did you think of Emmy's poem that you just beautifully read?
Well, it was interesting to read, it's got to be said. But the stanza that caught me most of all was the cold moisture on your face as you fly through the air to be joined in wet salt when your tiny elbows collide with the carpet and cry out in pain.
Wow.
That is so sad. That is, you know, tiny elbows, for goodness sake. That's so sad.
Yeah, I think we call it rug burn.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Usually that's on your knees, not your tiny elbows.
Yeah, well, elbows too.
You see how uneducated
voice,
I am.
Yeah.
Flat tired voice. Oh, dear me.
Don't get me started on that tonight.
only got 30 seconds left. I love you guys. Thank you for joining me tonight. Gray Eyes, Katie, and Frank for calling in. For Hope and Nuno, congratulations on their upcoming betrothment. Thank you, Amy and Phil and Silent Tree and everybody that in the group with us. We love you guys. We'll see you on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. Good night. Good night.
Buenas noches. Love you guys. Besitos.
Besitos.
No rug burn, okay, guys? Be careful. I love you.
Great to hear you, Frank. Great to hear you, Gray. Love you, Lulu. Catch you later.
All right, you guys have a good evening. See you all on Saturday.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
I'm going to be traveling. I'll be traveling soon. Take care.
Okay. Be safe. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.